For more information on ancient dragon Zengate and Taigen's teachings, please visit our website at www.ancientdragon.org. Our teachings are offered to the community through the generosity of our supporters. To make a donation online, please click on the link for Just Give on our website.
Good morning. My name is Douglas Floyd. I am the president of Ancient Dragon Zengate, and I also have an administrative office. I'm the temple director. Our teacher, Taigen Dan Layton, is away, so he's asked me to give a talk. I appreciate his giving me this chance to think about something a little more carefully, although that may not show. I know that there are some of you who are here for the first time. Who is the two of you? Anyone else? Well, welcome. I hope that what I have to say will encourage your practice, but I should give a disclaimer that nothing I say reflects the opinions of Taigen Dan Layton or Ancient Dragon Zengate. When I give Dharma talks on Sundays, there are usually people who have just had Zazen instruction. So I like to talk about Zazen and reserve talks about more inside Zen topics and koans and sutra literature, that sort of thing. Reserve that for Monday evenings. So I thought I'd talk about Zazen in the hopes that you may find these thoughts helpful and avoid some of the pitfalls that I experienced in beginning meditation practice. I've been doing this for quite a while now, but I learned meditation not in the Zen tradition, but in a Tibetan tradition. I was in college, and meditation was in the air. Everyone was learning meditation of different sorts, and I learned that just not too far up the road, an hour away from college, was a Tibetan community called Tail of the Tiger in Barnet, Vermont, a little town. Tail of the Tiger was on an old farm outside there. So I made my way to White River Junction, Vermont, got on a Greyhound bus, and went up to Barnet, and then walked a ways to get to Tail of the Tiger. And as I walked in, I saw this big old white Vermont farmhouse with a huge barn, and walked up to the front porch where a bunch of people were sitting cleaning green beans. And I dropped in without communicating with anyone and just said, "Hi, I'm here to learn how to meditate." And they said, "That's great. Here, clean some green beans." And we did that for a while, and eventually someone said, "Okay, let's go talk." And he gave me instructions for sitting that are very much like what we do here, and what is pretty standard in Soto Zen. You know, Tibetan Buddhism is really varied, and the nature of the practices varies tremendously. And most of us, I think, when we think of Tibetan Buddhism, think of the elaborate mandalas and visualization practices where you imagine, say, a great guru like Padmasambhava in the air in front of you, or one of the great bodhisattvas, and you know, you'll visualize the bodhisattva, and the bodhisattva might shine light on you. And in advanced practices, you'd identify yourself with the bodhisattva or Buddha. But there are other traditions as well that have sitting practices and an emphasis on the nature of awakening that's very much like Zen and East Asian Buddhism. So especially in the Kagyu and Nyingma lineages, there's Mahamudra and Dzogchen meditation, which some of you may have heard of. And the founder of Tail of the Tiger was Chogyam Trungpa Rinpoche, who was one of the first two or three Tibetan teachers after the exodus from Tibet and the diaspora across the world to come to the United States to open practice centers. And Trungpa Rinpoche had studied, was in the Karma Kagyu school, but he'd also studied with Nyingma gurus, so he was, you know, completely familiar with Maha Mudra and Dzogchen meditation. And even from the very beginning, you would be taught a meditation practice that, you know, was evolve over time, but was a practice that you would maintain forever, notwithstanding the fact that later you might get involved in the more elaborate tantric visualization practices and that and ritual practice, that sort of thing. And before and after any of the visualizations in these elaborate tantric practices, you would be engaged in this sort of what's called a formless meditation. So the first day I showed up at Tail of the Tiger, they taught me to sit, you know, sit on a cushion, very much like this one, sit up straight, sit in a balanced way, keep my eyes open, and to follow the breath, be mindful of the breath. And that's pretty much what we teach. That went okay for a while. I didn't become a member of the community. I went back to college and did that and would sit on my own. And then I started going back for all-day meditation retreats. And I think I had an eye-opening experience with my first long meditation retreat, or three-day meditation retreat. I went up there, and they would wake you up early in the morning, and you'd go have a couple of periods of meditation before breakfast. And by the second day, you know, I was noticing I'm really, there are thoughts just going crazy in my head, and I'm not able to stay with my breath at all. I'm really not concentrating enough. So I would really bore down and focus on my breath, and that wasn't helping. So at the end of, I guess, maybe the second day, day's morning practice, I was headed downstairs to breakfast and saw one of the meditation instructors and just kind of lost it, just exploded and saying, "What is going on here? This is not working. I am concentrating very hard, but these thoughts are just taking over everything. They're all over the place. I can't stay concentrated on my breath. What's happening here?" And the instructor was very kind. He didn't say, "Well, come talk to me later." He just said, "Okay, let's go." And we stepped into a side room, and he gave me some more instruction, which was very helpful. I'd definitely gotten off track, but it's pretty easy to do. And it may be helpful just to talk about some of the things that he talked about and that are talked about in our tradition pretty much. And that is that, you know, a lot of people come to Zazen are being familiar with other meditation practices and having read literature, and there are different approaches. I mean, there's some in which meditation is a practice of concentration on some object, intense concentration on that, and avoiding distractions from your thoughts and from whatever's going on around you. And by building up this concentration, you quiet the mind, which allows this intuitive insight to arise, sort of, and that prajna and an experience of enlightenment. And that's not what we do. We come from another side of meditation, which says that no, we're not trying to change anything. We're not trying to go anywhere. We're already awake as we are now. We are already Buddhas, and the problem is that we get caught up in thinking in a way that distracts us from the experience. So just, we are already awake, and just sitting on our cushions upright is it. That's where we need to be. What happens, though, is that we do get distracted and we start daydreaming, or we start concentrating on our breath really hard, or we start trying to explain things or figure things out, or especially we start evaluating the nature of our zazen. This is bad zazen. This is good zazen. Doing a terrible job. I got to make this. I can make this better by trying really hard. But those are not it. And I think a distinction. What we need to remember is that the point is just being here, sitting upright and present with our experience of this moment, whatever it is the expression of awakened mind. So in our school, not saying there aren't fixed experiences of awakening and that other people talk about, but we focus more on this expression of our awakened mind in activity. And sitting on your cushion is an activity, and doing it with an undivided mind, just being right here, is an expression of your awakening. And in fact, the founder of Soto Zen, Eihei Dogen, who was the first, was the Japanese Zen teacher in the 13th century, went to China and came back and founded the Soto School of Zen in Japan. Refers to this wholehearted sitting, undivided, undistracted, being present on your cushion as shikantaza, just sitting. And it's not in the way of, oh, it's just sitting, but it is undivided sitting, just being here, being present, undistracted, is the expression of awakened mind. It is our practice of awakening. So the practice is really just being here and letting ourselves be present and awake to whatever our experience is right now. And that includes everything within our experience. So unlike in some meditation practices, the fact that there's a lot of thoughts going on is not a problem. You're not trying to get rid of them. You're just letting them be and being awake to them. They'll come up and go away, come up and go away. We'll hear sounds, we'll smell the incense, we'll hear cars outside of Ancient Dragon Zen Gate, that sort of thing. So the thoughts, emotions, sensations are all part of our experience. What happens then is we will eventually get caught up in our thinking and we'll fall away from it and get distracted. Our mind will get divided, if you like, by getting caught up in a chain of thinking or a daydream or focusing in on some meditation object like our breath. And what happens? Well, at some point, that we come back. We're present. And our practice is merely to say, I'm back. And I'm prepared. I intend to stay here. I'm not going to intentionally start thinking about something else. So you can see the differences between the different kinds, kinds of meditation. So we're not trying to go somewhere. We're not trying to transform our minds. We're learning to sit here with whatever's going in our mind, whatever's in our experience. We're not focusing on anything, which creates a divided mind. We're sitting here with a mind that's open to absolutely everything. And it doesn't require any effort. In fact, that whole moment of awakening from distraction is not something we have any control over. It happens. It is the nature of our mind to wake up. We are inherently awake. It happens. We can't control whether we're going to stay there or not. We can influence it by saying, My intention is to stay with this. I'm just going to sit here and appreciate being here in this moment. I'm not going to try and change anything. And in fact, Dogen used to say that just taking the posture of zazen is itself the king of samadhis, the king of mental states, the mental state that encompasses all mental states and that is itself the expression of awakened mind. Just taking the posture. We tend to go a little bit beyond that by talking about the breath, but you know, the difference is, as we've talked, you heard this morning, is that when we talk about following the breath and being aware of the breath, it's not concentrating on the breath and zeroing in on the breath with some sort of exclusive focus, trying to remain undistracted by anything else going on. Our breath and our posture are things that we do check on as we're sitting, but we check our breath. We're aware of the breath. We're not focused on the breath. We're not focused on our posture. So we sit and we appreciate our posture and our breathing and the experience of this moment and all the thoughts that are coming and going without trying to do anything to it. We fall away and then we simply acknowledge that we're awake and we intend to stay there. We invite ourselves to be present in this moment. So rather than focusing on capturing something with our attention, we're really letting ourselves wake up and let go and stay there with these thoughts and feelings, emotions, even if the emotions are, this is terrible zazen, and these thoughts are, this is terrible zazen. The issue isn't that the thought that this is terrible zazen, the issue is getting caught up in it and really feeling it. And coming to this experience with, out of, from inside the feeling and thought that this is terrible zazen. It's not a problem if you're sitting there and you're awake and it comes up and you go, yeah, okay, fine. We go forward. So that's a very positive message. That we are here, that we are awake, we are expressing enlightenment and awakening in our other activities, and that we don't have a technique that requires us to transform ourselves. This isn't really a technique, is it? It's really just a different way of being, of engaging with your experience, with whatever's going on in each moment. And it certainly carries... is carried forward off the cushion where throughout your day you will come awake and realize, oh, I've been somewhere else, but I'm here now. I'm happy to stay here, and then continue with whatever activity you're engaged in. Talking on the phone, typing on your computer, sitting in a meeting, writing something, whatever. We have those moments of awakening across the day, and that is zazen in the same way that sitting on the cushion is zazen, except that sitting on the cushion allows you to do it in a more undiluted manner, undistracted manner. It really calls itself out. So I don't want to quote too much traditional Zen literature, but there is a koan, a Zen story, a teaching story that Dogen refers to over and over again, which involves the great Zen teacher Yaoshan. So Yaoshan was sitting doing zazen one time, and one of the monks from his monastery came to him and said, well, Master, what are you doing thinking so intently there? And he says, well, I'm thinking not thinking. And the monk thought, I don't understand. How do you think not thinking? And Yaoshan said, non-thinking. Which apparently is as cryptic in Chinese and Japanese as it is in English. So the point he's trying to reach is that what we do on the cushion encompasses all kinds of mental activity. And what we're doing isn't any specific mental activity. Meditation isn't a technique. You're not meditating by focusing on the breath. You're meditating by waking up. And you can help yourself by just checking on your posture, checking on your breath, but being open to this moment. And whatever comes up, whatever falls away, that's also part of your experience. And this way of engaging with this moment and your experience, that's awakening, and that is Zazen. So the good news is not that... the good news is that while we get distracted and fall away from moment-to-moment awakening, we keep waking up. That's what our practice is. Awakening, 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 over and over again. But we do this. And we do this from the very first time. This isn't something that takes a lot of practice. And someday, after trying very, very hard, you will become very, very calm, very, very clear. You will have some transformative insight that will shake you to your core. The point is that from this very moment, this ordinary mind in this experience of sitting on our cushion is already awakening. From the very first time you sit on your cushion, you have done this. And you're stuck with it now. You can't forget that you know that now. So from now on, for the rest of your life, you will have these moments of awakening, and you will know what they are. That is good news. So, you know, there are different ways to think about it. You can think about it as sitting on your cushion and saying yes to all of it. You know, you can't say yes, you can't say without, okay, I've been distracted. That means you're already awake. It's not, I've got to do something to wake up. To have recognized that you've been distracted and fallen away from this moment means you are already awake. There is nothing else to be done. But you can encourage yourself and say, well, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to start thinking about dinner tonight intentionally. I'm not going to start bearing down and concentrating and focusing very hard on my breath. I don't need to do that. I'm here, and I appreciate this experience, which can be a pretty miserable experience, sitting on your cushion with aching knees or being very upset or angry. But being awake to the experience of sitting here, feeling the breathing, feeling the posture, aware of being angry or upset, anxious, that's it too. And that's okay. And in that awakening, we have the ability to behave more actively in an awakened, kind, helpful way without falling back into an ever intensifying circle of anxiety or wanting or anger. Just that being awake and letting those things exist takes some of the energy out of them. It doesn't necessarily make them go away, but they don't necessarily overcome us. It's workable. It's something we can live with and deal with. So it's a very... it's a very interesting practice that's different from our other experiences because it's a matter of how we react and how we engage with our experience. It's not something we can control or do. We just have to be with it and get out of our way. And let it be. I think that's about all I need to say. Thank you. Does anybody have any thoughts about their sitting or questions about your sitting? Yeah, especially the two of you who had Zazen instruction today. No? Okay, good. So the fundamental technique of Zazen is keeping your bottom on a cushion. It will work out if just doing that. Just sitting there, sitting upright with your eyes open is the fundamental practice. You will wake up and you just have to give yourself the chance to do it. And the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Although, it's very much like running. I can't tell you that the more you sit, that your Zazen periods will get easier and easier and easier and easier, and from now on, over time, you'll be more and more and more awake during meditation periods. It doesn't work like that. Sort of over time, that's the case, maybe statistically, which is a horrible way to talk about Zazen, but it's very much like I used to run marathons when I still had knees that functioned. And the great woman marathoner, Dina Kasser, came to talk to the people I ran with one time, and she said, you know, you never know. The next mile can really suck, and the next one can be really good, and you just can't predict it. You know, periods of Zazen are like that. Don't get discouraged. You know, we have this conditioning. We have this karma built up in our minds that shapes each period. You never know what's going to come up. You never know how much distraction you're going to experience and how frequently you're going to wake up. And you never know, this period can be a very distracted period, and the next one can be, oh, wow, this is great. I feel great. My mind's very clear. I must be doing very good Zazen. Doesn't work that way. It was good Zazen the first time. It was good Zazen this time. It's good Zazen the next time. All it requires is willingness and intent to sit there and wake up. Just the intent, having the intent to wake up is the expression of the awakening right there. You cannot intend to wake up if you are already distracted and caught up in your thinking. So, no questions at all? No observations on your own practice? Oh, Aishin, please.
In your blind spot. Thanks so much for a great talk. I feel like I'm the poster child for your talk today. Because I'm having one of those days where my mind keeps wanting to fall asleep, but I keep waking up and having the intention to sit here, and then a thought will arise, and that thought instantly leads me into a world of dreams. And then, you know, a couple more thoughts happen that elaborate on that one, and then I come back and I'm like, oh, okay. And then, you know, have the intention again, okay, I'll stay awake. But then, and you do for a minute, and then a thought arises, and it takes you in the same cycle. And, so I don't know if it's a question or a comment, but I like sort of your focus on, you know, the overall intention that clearly when I'm asleep, literally, I'm not awake, but there's something there.
Yeah. I find it very inspirational to realize that we are awake. There's nothing about awakened mind that is in addition to or different from just sitting here now. And that the issue is that we turn away from it by getting caught up in our thinking or daydreaming or concentration, dividing our minds so that when we get caught up in our thinking or dreaming, we're still aware of the world, but we're really not paying attention to it. We've restricted ourselves to a much narrower world and way of engaging with the world. But we'll be back. You know, we will be back, which is very inspirational for me. I mean, I think the experience for me is on a day when you give a Dharma talk, you spend an inordinate amount of time realizing that you've just spent the last 5 minutes explaining Zazen to yourself. Which is okay. And then all you can do is say, well, that's great, but I'm back and sitting here. That's enough. I'm just going to sit here and appreciate sitting here. So, yes.
So thanks for sharing a nice story. So you started with saying this is a practice of concentration.
No, it's not a practice of concentration. There are Buddhist schools or even Zen schools that have practice of concentration where you focus very intently on some object of meditation. You know, a mantra or a visual, some visualized image, for example, or even words from a koan. And it's interesting, even schools that do koan practice approach very differently how you go about doing it. So some schools that do koan practice, so just to practice on the mukoan, you know, the monk came to Master Jiaozhou and said, "Does a dog have Buddha nature?" And Jiaozhou said, "Mu," which means no or not or nothing or just negative. It's kind of eh. And the way people tend to practice with mu is to recite mu when they breathe out. And there are different schools. There's some where practicing with mu is like our zazen. When you breathe out, you just lightly go recite mu, but no. That's just part of the experience of this moment. There are others that will say, focus very hard on mu, strain very hard on mu, practice hard. And that will lead you to a quiet mind and someday a great breakthrough. Those are definitely concentration practices, and ours is not. And in Zazen also, if you read much Buddhist literature, it's... Zazen doesn't fall into the traditional dichotomy. If you read Indian Buddhist literature and Buddhist literature, even in Tibet, for example, Southeast Asia, they have practices that are concentration practices, which are to calm the mind, and then different kinds of insight practices to cause you to realize or at least internalize some fundamental aspect of Buddhist teaching. But our practice doesn't fall into either one of those very easily. You know, I mean, for us, when awakening arises, Prajna isn't really understanding some idea or having some concept or insight necessarily, it may be, into the nature of reality, but it's seeing through delusion, waking up over and over again, letting the thoughts come up, but they don't carry you away. So that Prajna, the awakening, is that ability to see through the delusion and our mind sometimes pulling us away from being present. So ours is not a concentration. It's an opening practice. It's a letting go practice. So Dogen will go on at length about Zazen is about letting go of all thinking, intention, views, whatever. Any mental activity is not something to grasp or get caught up in. Yeah, Brian.
I've always been interested in and kind of puzzled by this relationship between what we call distractions and awakening, and how easy it is to set them up as opposites. That sometimes I'm distracted and then I'm awake. Sometimes I'm not here and then I'm here. And the practice is about coming back to here from not here and coming out of distraction into presence. And the thing that makes me question that is the teaching about delusion is enlightenment, that there is no distinction, there's no separation. And that I make me wonder that perhaps it's more, I like the word seeing through that you just used, a kind of transparency, that sometimes thoughts that are secreted by the organ of the brain are more dense, and sometimes they're more transparent, and that thoughts are within this bigger container of awakening, and everything is empty in the sense that it doesn't have some kind of thingness to it. It's like the image is often used of clouds across an empty sky, and it's all there. It's clouds and empty sky are there, and they're there together.
Yeah.
It's not like cloud can be sky. It's all part of one reality.
Yeah.
Can you say something about that?
Sure. I think, you know, the fundamental, in a couple of ways. I think that, you know, our experience of wanting or anxiety, anger, fear, you know, greed, hatred, delusion, all of that can arise in within our being present. And, you know, there's not a, as I said, there's not a separate content to your mind. It's not a new idea or state in the sense of an emotion or specific mental activity. Awakening is only, you know, we can awaken within our own delusion and waken to delusion. And it's always tempting for us to think of awakening as some specific experience, and so that it sometimes bothers me when we talk about awakening to now. And I kind of go, well, okay, that's just being here. There's nothing now that's different from then. It's a matter of not being caught up in our delusion. And I think it's also the case that, as I said, just this being awake with our delusion and letting thoughts and feelings of anxiety or anger or wanting something, just letting them come up and fall while we're present sort of sucks some of the energy out of them. And even when we fall back then and get caught up in them and we're no longer present, and we're they can lose some of their force. I mean, it's not that thinking is a bad thing or even being concentrating on your thinking. I can't write personally. I mean, I have moments where I'm back and all, but when I write, I really have to think in sustained thinking and sustained writing. I am pretty much narrowed down on this computer screen or this piece of paper I'm working on. And that's not an evil thing, and it's not necessarily caught up in greed, hate, or delusion. But once you do that, there can be a tendency to slide into those other things. Once you've narrowed, awareness has been narrowed in that way, it's fairly easy for the elements of, for karma to come back into play and shape that activity. But we do act, and we act concretely. We speak concretely, we think and feel concretely, we take concrete actions. It's not like we don't. I mean, we have to do those specific things. And there are times when we have to focus. And that's okay. So our practice can encompass all of that. But by being awake, we can allow ourselves to act and think and feel more skillfully, so that we are not acting out on greed, anger, and delusion. I mean, if that doesn't make any sense, go ahead. Say so.
Well, that makes sense. An image that comes to mind is I was having lunch with a friend the other day, and we were next to the street, and there's a lot of street noise and other conversations, and there's the sense in which I'm present in having this conversation, and yet other things are kind of drifting in and out of that presence in the same way in Zazen, in terms of the wholeness of the moment or specific things that temporarily capture my attention and then disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all one. It's all one experience.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you know, you can have this, what would you call it? Spacious experience of this moment. But just to live, at some point, some of it has to come to the foreground. You have to focus on that. But having trained to sort of go back and forth and back and forth a little bit, I think some of the you certainly undercut some of the force of the what we would consider the negative aspects of living out our anger or anxiety or fear, wanting. Anyone else? Okay.